91X News.
It's 3 degrees and cloudy at 4 o'clock. From the QNET newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Sophie Dudley. Ontario is being urged to end its standoff with Ottawa over healthcare funding. Mental health advocates say Ontario and other holdout provinces, such as BC and Quebec, need the money now to make sure needy patients have access to critical frontline services. The Mental Health Commission of Canada's president, Louise Bradley, said other provinces, most recently Saskatchewan, have identified mental health as a funding priority and signed bilateral deals with the federal government. Ontario Finance Minister Charles Souza says Ottawa has been acting unilaterally, while the provinces want a chance to negotiate. The Belleville Dockfest is coming to the city March 3rd to March 7th. QNET News spoke with Lynn Braun, the artistic director and programmer of the festival. Lindsay Cook has the story.
Braun says Dockfest is not only open to big-time documentary makers, but also local filmmakers.
This year we're showing 15 documentaries that were actually made by local people, and they're anything from, you know, young up and coming to more established filmmakers in the area.
One of the local filmmakers is Doug Knudsen. Dockfest will show two of his films called The Birth of Belleville and Hollywood of the North. Other filmmakers participating in the festival are Aaron Bell and Ryan Nass. Braun also told QNET that the festival has quite an impact on the community.
When people see films like this, it really does motivate them to actually do something, take action, and that can lead to social change.
At the first Dockfest in 2012, one of the films inspired the community to create the Belleville Community Gardens, Braun said. This is Lindsay Cook, QNET News, Belleville.
This year, Loyalist College will be joining 24 colleges across Ontario that are half a century old. As Sabrina McDonald reports, planning for the anniversary is just in the starting stages.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of Loyalist College. To celebrate and appreciate over 40,000 graduated students since 1967. Diane Spencer is in charge of the planning.
Everyone is more than welcome to participate, but a really important aspect of the focus will be on encouraging programs to get together and have those program reunions.
There are some events already planned, such as a golf tournament, boat cruise, and bus tour for later on in the year. Spencer says it's important to mark the past.
That's so important. An anniversary year is an opportunity to celebrate the many wonderful stories and accomplishments of the last 50 years, but much more importantly, it's about saying, this is where we are today, and this is where we're heading in the future.
For more information about Loyalist College's 50th anniversary, visit loyalistconnections.com.
Durham police are still investigating the death of a man in his 50s after he was killed this morning. The man, who has not yet been identified, was struck by a transit bus and then thrown into oncoming traffic, where he was then hit by another vehicle. The man was taken to a hospital in Toronto, but passed away from his injuries. Social media sites say they have zero tolerance for terrorism chatter, but victims' relatives say they're not doing enough to stop it. Rita Foley has more.
Facebook and Twitter say they don't allow violent threats on their sites. Twitter says it suspended 360,000 user accounts over the past year and a half for threatening violent acts or promoting them. But terror victims' family members say that's not enough. They filed a string of lawsuits in New York saying they want Twitter and Facebook to pay damages for failing to stop terrorists from going on those sites to try to recruit followers. I'm Rita Foley.
Despite conflict of interest complaints, incoming U.S. President Donald Trump is making his hotel a center of pre-inauguration planning. Warren Levinson has more.
The president-elect is spending the night before his inauguration at the Trump Hotel in the old Washington Post office. Transition spokesman Sean Spicer says, where else?
I think the idea that he's going to his own hotel shouldn't be a shocker. It's a beautiful place. It's somewhere that he's very proud of, and I think it's symbolic of the kind of government that he's going to run, on time, under budget.
Spicer also said the first few media briefings, at least, will be held in the regular White House briefing room. Senior officials have said they're exploring the idea of moving those briefings out of the White House, leading to charges that the Trump administration is seeking to limit press access. I'm Warren Levinson.
Former Prime Minister Stephen Harper says Donald Trump's presidency is a major source of international uncertainty that will reverse 7 decades of U.S. foreign policy. Terry Pedwell reports.
In a speech in New Delhi, the speaking notes for which were obtained by the Canadian press, Stephen Hopper says Donald Trump's foreign policy will scale back U.S. involvement in global affairs and be guided by narrow economic interests. The speech comes on the eve of Trump's inauguration and represents Hopper's most sweeping foreign policy pronouncement since he lost power in 2015. The Trudeau Liberal government says it's seeking common ground with the Trump administration on promoting middle-class growth, but Hopper says friends and allies of the U.S. will have to bring real assets to the table. Terry Pedro, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.
Paul McCartney is going to court to reclaim ownership of some of his most famous Beatles songs. Marjorie Saraletta has more.
Love me do.
Paul McCartney has filed a federal lawsuit to regain the rights to the songs he wrote with John Lennon from Sony ATV. Michael Jackson outbid him for the songs in 1985, and Sony ATV got full control after Jackson's death. McCartney is citing a provision of U.S. copyright law that allows him to claim back the songs after a certain time. The songs would be eligible beginning with Love Me Do in October 2018, with the rest of the songs coming up over the next 8 years. Sony ATV says it has the highest respect for McCartney, but finds the lawsuit unnecessary and premature. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
That's QNET News on 91X at 4:06. Sports is coming up next.
If you are new to the world of vinyl or maybe rediscovering your record collection, Red Ball Radio has the gear for you. They have turntables from Riga and Marantz and a good selection of cartridges from Grado and AT. Good records beget good sound only if your amp and speakers are up to par. Red Ball has a great selection of audio equipment from Yamaha, Paradigm, Cambridge Audio, and Totem on display. From phono cartridges to multi-room audio video systems, Red Ball Radio has you covered. Red Ball Radio, centrally hidden at 6 North Front Street, Belleville, or on the web at redballradio.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Sophie Dudley with QNET Sports. Kevin Durant dazzled against his old team once again with a season-best 40 points as the Golden State Warriors beat Oklahoma City 121-100. Warriors coach Steve Kerr says Durant has played well enough this season to be considered for the Most Valuable Player award.
He doesn't need the ball, and he still scores big numbers, and he blocks shots, and he rebounds, and makes plays. He's having a fantastic season, but it's kind of going under the radar and in some ways because of what a lot of other players are doing out there.
The Edmonton Oilers beat the Florida Panthers 4-3 in overtime Wednesday night. Oilers captain Connor McDavid scored the winner with just 2 seconds left on the clock on a close call. Panthers goaltender James Reimer had it in his glove, but the replay showed his glove cross the goal line with the puck. Reimer says it was a tough one to lose on.
I don't think any goalie will agree with that call. I mean, obviously he's a good player, and obviously I think 20,000 people thought it went in, and obviously I knew I had it in my glove, and I didn't know if it crossed the line or not, but when I saw the replay, I thought that they might make the call our way, but not the way they ref saw it.
Novak Djokovic won't be setting the Australian Open record for most men's titles this year after a second-round loss to wildcard entry Dennis Eistemann. It was the earliest loss at a major since 2008 for the six-time champion, who had never dropped a set to Eistemann in six previous meetings. Eistemann says he hopes to go deep into the tournament.
It means so much for me, of course, to beat world number two. And I just think that I hope it's not only one victory of mine, so I'm trying to keep going same way and try to win some more.
For local sports, the Loyalist Lancers women's volleyball team will be playing at home against the Canada Panthers starting at 6 p.m. this Saturday, and the men and women's basketball teams will also be playing at home tomorrow night against the Durham Lords. Visit loyalistcollege.com for details on more campus sporting events. Send us your team or league score, by email to qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. Tonight's weather forecast for Belleville remains cloudy with risk of freezing drizzle overnight, with fog patches also developing overnight with a low of -1. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy, a mix of sun and cloud and fog patches dissipating later in the morning. Tomorrow's high is +5. At 4:09, it's 4 degrees. QNET News on the air at 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Sophie Dudley, QNET News on 91X, next at 5.